Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Asare. Reverend Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister. He has been ministering for over 20 years and has traveled extensively. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now here is Reverend Collins.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here this morning? You don't look glad at all. The first service was better. I want to go back to the first service. Amen. You have to understand that we come to God rejoicing. You can't come to God with your face torn up. No. Anything you do will not be accepted by God if you come into His presence without. Psalm 100, can you give us that scripture? Before I preach, and I even ask you to sit down. I'm not asking you to sit down because it wasn't a very nice verse. What? Give me the verse I'm looking for. Rebecca, something. 4. You know Psalm 100. It's a very popular psalm. Okay, I can read. If you want me to read, I can also read. The Bible says, enter into his gates. Which gates are that? Sorry? The church. You see, even birds have come here. The church gates. Enter into his gates with what? Are you thankful? You don't look like you are thankful. And he says, enter into his courts. Where is the court? Where is the court? Sorry? Here's the court. So enter into his gate. By the time you get to the yard, you must be smiling. By the time you get to the sanctuary here, you must be praising him. Are you with me? We cannot come to church without joy. Because remember, if you are not joyful, you are depressed. If there's no joy, you are frustrated. And once you are depressed and frustrated, it means that demons are working on you. You should ask people who are depressed and frustrated. It's always demons. Demonic activity makes people depressed. It makes people frustrated. It makes people feel low. They feel down. They feel heavy. But a light spirit, a spirit of joy, the spirit of happiness is the spirit that God gives. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. God knows you may not want to enter with thanksgiving because you may have some one things. But he knows the things you have. But he's still saying that, come with thanksgiving. I said, he's still saying, come with thanksgiving. So, you're going to play music? You want to see whether the people are thankful? Okay, play music, let's see. Buzz the tune, they say. Buzz the tune. Yes. I want to see people who are grateful. Thanksgiving. I didn't say just clap only, you know. Some people still can't understand it. Come on, Samson. Come on. Hey. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that's about to come. Thank you for the joy that is only in your presence. Joy that gives strength. Not joy that comes and it makes us tired. Thank you for your power this afternoon. Let your power come forth through your word. May our lives never be the same again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Why don't you go around and shake one or two people? Tell them you're welcome to church. It's good to see you. And you may please be seated. Wow. I see a lot of young people. I just said to myself, where are the meaty people? Oh, the church is full of younger ones. It's like a youth service. One or two old geezers, but the rest... the rest are... I didn't call your name. I didn't mention anybody's name. Did you hear me mention anybody's name? So don't change your face because I said old geezer. Because me know who is old geezer. Everybody got a name, no? Use old geezer? Oh, good. So when I say old geezer, don't turn your face like I talking about you. There's no old person here. All of you are young people. Oh, young, nice, smiling people. It's just interesting. I look through, see that. Quite a number of the congregation is young. But there's power in having young people around. Hallelujah. Okay. For the next 6 weeks, we are looking at this book. It's called Lycos. Lycos. If you don't have a copy, please get a copy. So we're doing this for the next 6 weeks. So I want you to buy it. Bring it to church Tuesdays, home cell, everywhere, any meeting you're going to, this is what we're doing, okay? I want you to take it along with you. You could. She could trust it? What is trust? everybody else, we get cash, right? The only God, that's what she's talking about. Oh, trust. I learned something today. No trusting in the church. I like the word, man. Trust. Yeah, okay. There's a biblical word, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wow. Nice. Every day I'm learning something, you know. After 11 years, I'm still learning words. Okay. I'm sure if you see the people at the back, either hope or love or trust or something, faith, something, they can probably do something. Okay? All right. Well, I'm saying we're doing this for 6 weeks because it's very important for us to, number one, understand, believe, and be exposed to the things that our church believes in. Are you with me? We have books. All the books that we have in our church are things that we believe in. So it's just a matter of picking one book and then just talking about it. But every book you see around here, it is something that we use, we apply, we practice in our church. And it's very, very important that you and I get very conversant with the things that we believe in and we stand for. One of the things that we believe in is God's ability to use ordinary people. That's what the book is about. The book is about Lycos. Lycos is a Greek word meaning common people or unskilled person, somebody who's unskilled. When we talk about unskilled, we are talking in relation to the things of God, working for God, being useful in the house of the Lord. Can you give me a second? Do you have scriptures? Give me 2 Timothy chapter. Is it 2? In a large house, there are many vessels. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Honey, are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. I was going to ask you, where is mommy? Not the way she's sitting right behind you. Listen to what the Bible says. See, this is a very, very wonderful church, you know. This is a very, very powerful church. A church that teaches and preaches things that are in the Bible. If you look at this scripture, the Bible says that, but in a great house is a church. A church is a great house. But in a great house, there are not only vessels. Vessels are people. Vessels are people. Vessels are things that are used. If a cup is a vessel, a plate is a vessel. So when the Bible says that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold. He's talking about types of people. So there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So what the scripture is trying to tell us is that in the house of God, you have types of people. Are you with me? But you have to come to understand that no matter the type, God will want to use the type. You have to understand this principle, because what happens is that you will go to some churches who only use people and make people feel important, who are rich, who live in a rich neighborhood, who have businesses, who probably give the church a bit more money, people who are educated, people who work in particular places, people who drive big cars. Those people are made to feel special and important than the rest. But that is not what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that even if you are dressed in suit, or so you are not dressed in suit, if you have hair or you don't have hair, if you are this or you are that, the Bible says it, that no matter who you are, God wants to use you. God likes you. God prefers you. So the concept or principle of ordinary people, unskilled people, is biblical. You may have a child father. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use you. You may be a dangle. It doesn't mean that God cannot use you. You may be an auntie man. It doesn't mean that God cannot use you. So when you look at the word lycos, the meaning of lycos in chapter 1, verse 1, something like that. Chapter 1. The word lycos or layman comes from the Greek word lycos, which means having no skills. How many of us have preaching skills? You say that when you were born preaching. You're a preacher since you were born. How many of us will say that? Nobody will say that. Jackman. Is it Jackman? Jackman? Yeah. Nobody will say that. History teaches us that great things can be accomplished through people who lack skills. People who lack skills, who lack preaching skills, are people God uses. Now, what is the meaning of lycos or a lay person? It means an ordinary person. It also means a normal person. You get it? Now, one of the facts, if you want to talk about facts, let me not use my scripture now, but when we talk about facts, we are talking about something like the Great Reformation, which is right here. Great achievements in the church world. Lay people were the pillars of the Great Reformation of the church. If you know church history a little bit, you will understand that the only great old original church is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is the mother of all churches, the uncle of all churches, the grandfather of all churches. It is a church that has been here for years. Plenty years, the Roman Catholic Church. Now, this church was very powerful. It is still powerful because it is the only church whose leader will come to Guyana and it will be a holiday. If Bishop Dar comes here, it will never be a holiday. But if the Pope gets here, everything will shut down for the Pope. Millions of people want to see the Pope. People even cry. The Pope's hand, just to touch somebody, is that the person is blessed for the rest of his life. The Pope is a very important person. He is the head of the Catholic Church. He is seen by many ignorant unbelievers as the president of all Christians. The Pope only represents the Catholic Church. Now, the Catholic Church in those days, the early days in the 16th century and all, was very, very powerful. You could not go to church. It is still the same way. You cannot, you see, the pastors don't preach. They read their Latin books. Is that not what they do? If you go to the Catholic Church, the ambience is nice. It's quite holy. It's quite sanctimonious. It's quite pious. I mean, if you go to the Catholic Church, you can feel that God is in the place. You see Peter standing. You see Mary standing. I mean, it's a very, very powerful environment. Here, when you come, it's books you see. You see microphone stands. If you go to the Catholic Church, you see birds flying around. If you go to the Catholic Church, you see Mary. You see Jesus. You see Peter. Statues in the church. It's like if you make noise, an angel will slap you. The Catholic Church is quiet and wonderful. What you may not know is that in the 16th century, the Catholic Church and its influence on the local people, normal people, became too much. So there was what we call the Great Reformation. Reformation is to form something again, like a rebellion, a revolt, to make something better out of something that already exists. What was happening in the Catholic Church was that the fathers and the Pope, they were using the Bible to take advantage of the church members. In fact, one of the reasons why the Catholic Church is very rich is that they have a concept, and the concept is such that, well, you don't marry. You know, they don't. If you're in a Catholic church, you're a priest, you can't marry. Right? So if you are like that, anything you own, whether it's money, whether it's properties, you will it to the church. So if you're a Catholic priest and you have a house, you have a vehicle, what happens is that you have to sign up the vehicle to the church because you don't have any children. You don't have any wife. When you die, who are you going to give it to? It must come to the church. That is how the Catholic Church, in another way, has become very rich over the years. There's nowhere you go, you don't see a Catholic church. I said, there's nowhere you go, you don't see a Catholic church. Roman, you see it all over the place. All over the place. You get it? So, one of the things also that we're doing was that they were also teaching about purgatory. There's a principle, they call it purgatory. Purgatory is the fact that when somebody dies, he moves from this world into a transition point. So the person doesn't go to hell or heaven. The person goes halfway. And then, depending on what you do for the church, then the father or the priest will ask God to send your relatives to heaven and not to hell. So it gave a lot of power to the priests. And they were doing all kinds of things. There are records of the bishops and the popes having prostitutes come into their apartments and come into their houses, all kinds of things that was there. So there was this guy called Martin Luther. He was also a monk from Germany. One of the things he did was that he sat down and he realized that the things that was going on in the church, it was quite sickening. It was quite, you know, quite sad. But the Bible that they were using was only in Latin. Which means that if you don't speak Latin, you can't read. You see, we have Bible these days that we can read and understand, and we don't even read it. It was the same way in those days. There were Bibles, but they were in Latin. So it's only the priest who has been to school, been to seminary, who knows Latin, who understands what is there. So they were using that code to deceive a lot of the church members. It was not until Martin Luther
decided to translate the Bible from Latin to normal German language, that they realized that some of the things that the Pope and the Catholic Church were saying was nowhere in the Bible. No, you got to read the Bible. When I give you verses, you have to go. Now we see the verses on the screen, so you can either see that it's real or not. But it's very important to write verses, go home, and really look at it again. Because if you don't do that, maybe you trust me, maybe you think that, maybe the things are correct. But you go to another church, you can't behave the same way. Because you may easily miss it. Now, you look at this example. The Bible talks about Elijah raising a child from the dead. This widow had a son who died. So, Elijah did it. I think Elijah also did the same thing. So Elijah took the boy into a guest room, and then the boy was lying on the bed, and he lied on the boy. Okay, so a man to a man. The Bible says that his face to his face, his body to his body, everything. It's like, you know, just like, let's say a man and a woman would do the same thing Elijah did. And the Bible says that he either prayed or he breathed into him or something. And then the guy came back to life. Excuse me. Now, can I also use that principle when you are not well? What do you mean by no? Elijah used it. Brian, why can I not use it? Me too, I'm a man of God. So Sister Nisha comes to me and says she's sick. I said, okay, come. There's a bed here. Lie down. And then she lies down. I said, okay, you see what Elijah did? We're going to do the same thing, okay? Then we... I said, after the whole encounter, your life will never be the same again. No, it people have used it to take advantage of people. It has happened several times. That's what makes people take people to the seawall in the night and say, come and let me bathe you. All kinds of foolishness people take people through because people don't read the Bible for themselves. Somebody, come to church. Come in this. Bring this. Do this. Do that. Do this. Where in the Bible does all those things are? If somebody is telling you, if a pastor is telling you to do something, ask the person, do you have a scripture? Is there a verse you can give to me for me to understand what you are trying to ask me to do? Can you ask the pastor to give you a verse to protect yourself? It happened in Ghana. One pastor, a husband and his wife, the wife wasn't conceiving, and then they came to the pastor, this kind of prophet Obia people type of prophet, you know, type of thing they have in the church, and they came and they said that my wife can't conceive and we really want a child. And then the prophet or whoever, Obia man, I don't know how do you call him, he said, okay, no problem, I'll talk to your wife alone. So the man excused them, and he told the woman midnight she would come and see him. She come without her panties. She should come midnight, 12 minutes. He should not come 1 minute before, 1 minute after, midnight. She come to the church. No, without panties. She come with oil. She come with this, come with that, come with that. And God is going to do great things. The woman wanted a child. The man wanted a child. So the woman came. When he came, the man told her that it's the seed. You need a holy seed. Yeah. You are laughing. You need anointed seed. Yeah. He said, the seed that you've been taking is corrupt. Yeah. The lady said, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's okay. So we are going to do this thing. We got to do it. We got to do it very well, okay? Just lie down. You can't move. Just lie down. Everything I do, just flow, okay? Otherwise, it won't work. A month or so later, sweetie, pregnant? Holy seed has happened. Yeah. She was very excited. You don't know how ignorant people are, ladies and gentlemen. You have to read for yourself. So, when Martin Luther translated the Bible into German, and then he brought out some of the things, we call it the 95 Theses of Martin Luther. He brought out some of the facts out of the Bible that contradicts what the Catholic Church has been teaching them all along. Then the people revolted. They said, hey! I have given my money to this priest so that my grandmother will go to heaven, not knowing it's not true. come and see the people. Hey, Choboy, hey, revolution. When ordinary people understand something, there's power in it. That's what God wants to use ordinary people. I said, that's what God wants to use ordinary people.
There's a church in Seoul, Korea, Dr. Yonggi Cho's church.
Dr. Cho has over 700,000 church members. When the Lord gave him the principle of home sales to use, he started it. The elders of the church rejected it. So the Lord said, you should call the ladies, the women in the church. Most of them are housewives. So he said, you should call them and use them. So his first set of cell groups were only for housewives, were the ones who were doing it. When the men saw that the thing was working, 100, 200, 300,000 people, then they came and said, even up to today, majority of Dr. Cho's cell leaders are women. Ordinary people, there's power in using ordinary people. So it's not even just, even if you take the God and what he wants to do out of the picture, it is proven time and time again by history that when ordinary people come together, they do great things. If you and I can come together in this church, you see what will happen in this church. I say, if we can trust one another and do what God wants us to do in this church, you see what will happen in this church. Yeah. Hallelujah. Democracy. All the democracy that we are looking for. Democracy. One democracy. Democracy is just for the common man. Democracy is a system of government where everybody has a right to speak, to vote, to this, to that. America is, they call it the greatest country of democracy in the world. Look at two presidential candidates and look how stinking they all are. Yet, they are contesting. They want to be president. It can only happen in America. If it was in Africa, you'll be dead. I tell you, if it was in Africa, somebody would have finished the elections today. They say, he will say, I am the president from today, whether you like it or not. But you see, Trump is this, Clinton is that, yet we're going to go to the ballot boxes, we're going to go vote for them. I'm sure one of them is going to win. One of them is going to be the president. What are you going to do? Because America is very democratic. So even foolish things, you have to follow democracy. And if majority of the people, like what happened in Britain, when the British said that they are leaving Europe, some foolish idea that came up. They said, okay, let's do a referendum. They did a referendum. They went to the polls. And everybody voted. To their amazement, they were surprised that those who wanted to leave the European Union was more than those who wanted to stay. Now Britain is at a crossroad where those who want to leave the European Union, they've won the referendum. Now it's confusing. Common people, ordinary people, if you give them power, you'll be surprised what will happen. And that's what God is trying to tell us here in the church and in his kingdom. That in his kingdom, he also uses ordinary people. He uses ordinary people, unskilled people, people who have not gone to Bible school, people who have not gone to seminary, people who are child mothers, people who are child fathers. What is it? If you're a child mother, what is a father called? Child father? Oh, there's no, that's the only thing for father. Oh, we should have something for them too. Child father and child mother. You may be a dangle. You may be this. You may be that. All kind of thing. Yeah, you may be maybe sleeping with an animal, something. You can do all kinds of things. But God is after you. God wants you. God needs you. God wants to use you. Well, God wants you. In fact, God wants to make something out of your life. To me, it's quite amazing that we don't understand this concept. That we rather resist doing something in the church. It's quite interesting. That you will rather fight and not do anything in the church. When God wants to use you. God wants to make something out of it. At the end of the day, if God uses you, think about this thing. You know when Jesus was entering Jerusalem? Do you remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem? How did he go? He went on a mule. Or on a colt. Now, think about it. The Bible says that Jesus entered Jerusalem. So he was sitting on this donkey. And people had put branches. And they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What were they doing? The ladies are here. We read from the Bible that they placed their dresses, their clothes on the floors and on the streets. And then Jesus was riding on the fabric, on the cloths, on the thing. Who was really stepping on the cloth? Was it Jesus or was the donkey? So who was important? Was it Jesus or the donkey? That is what happens when God uses you. You rather become the star. You and I are the ones that God wants to make a star. But we are also the same ones who say, me one sing, me one do nothing in the church, me one do no home cell, me one dance, me one join nothing. I just come and I just go. It's ignorance. Because if you know what is going to make you into a star, I said, if you knew what was going to make you into a star, you would jump on it. And what is going to make you a star is to allow yourself for God to use you for His will and for His purposes. Yeah. Think about what I said about the mule, about the donkey. Who was stepping? The donkey had never stepped on it. Can you see a donkey coming to step on your clothes? You know how you go and say, "Hey!" Now, when it was Jesus, of course, because it's Jesus, of course, you put your best on the floor for Jesus to walk up. You've forgotten that Jesus was rather sitting on the donkey. So the person that God uses, that person even enjoys more. The presence of God on somebody makes that person, the blessings of God upon that person, it's too much. So God, we are going through this series of ordinary people being used by God so that you and I will jump on this principle and on this concept. And as we jump on it, God is going to use us. Gee, God is going to use you. He cannot do anything good to you unless you allow Him to sit on you. Yeah. If He sits on you, no matter who you are, you will shine. I said, when Jesus sits on you, no matter who you are, you will shine. Ordinary people shine because God Almighty sits on them. He graces these people with His presence. And the people are changed. Can you imagine how the donkey was feeling? He will say, "Hey, is this me? These human beings, look at, was it linen? Tetrex, linen, cotton. What? Enjoying." I said, "Jesus, continue to sit on my back." "Okay, how long are we going?" "Jesus, please, let's go longer." He was enjoying. Meanwhile, he was not the main focus. You think that when if you do something for God in the church, who benefits? Who benefits? As a person sitting next to you, if you do something in the church, who benefits? What did they say? I said, "Are you sure you understand that?" So if it is you who benefit, then I will challenge you to start today to give yourself and your time to the things of God. Practically, not just in your mind, but do something practically in the church. And this is what we stand for as a church. This is what we believe in as a church. In a certain way, people who don't do anything in the church, they begin to irritate us. Yeah. If you come to the church, you don't do anything, you irritate us. Because it means you don't believe in what we believe in. You must do something. There's a lot of things to do. I'm looking for 100 cell leaders, Charmaine. 100 cell leaders. You must be one. Oh, you must be one. Why would you not be one? You must be one. Shiniza, you must be one. And once you are one, Jesus will cause you to shine as a star. Junior, are you not enjoying it? It's not such a blessing. Look at Junior. How long have you been in the church? 2 months. And he's a cell leader. Ask yourself, how long have you been around? And what have you? Who are you? What have you? What have you done? What are you doing? Thank you, Junior. That's the spirit in this church. So if you come to this church, you don't do something, you annoy us. You annoy me. Yeah, when I see you, one of them. And them think, yeah, because what we believe in, you are telling me that you don't believe in what I believe in. So it makes us, we can't be together, really. Except that I can't drive you away from the church. I would have driven you away from the church. So we'll be in the church, but we are far from each other. Yeah, you be on yourself. If Satan is beating you, let him beat you. Because I am not coming to, pray for anybody who doesn't believe in the things I'm doing. And then when you need help, now you are trying to call me. What kind of cheat is that? What kind of opportunism is that? That when you need help, we need you. Do we even need you? You are the one who's going to shine. Peter, are you not a cell leader? How old are you? 16 years old. Shame on you old people who are here who don't do anything. 16 years old. She's a cell leader. Yeah. Junior came 2 months ago. Because God uses ordinary people. Let me give you a scripture and we close. Yeah. Acts chapter 4, verse 6. We are looking for 100 cell leaders. You want to be a cell leader? Write your name, please, at the back with Sister Trevisia. Durant. Cell leaders. Huh? Tiffany, instead of coming and saying, you should be a cell leader. You already registered. You better register. You, what are you? It's a good question, right? Especially, use your bag for me, you know? Shine your bag and let me. Like, yeah, no, you should think about it. Have you forgotten that you are around? How old are you? You're what, 20? You're breathing hard. Breathing again. Breathing again. How old are you? You are 21. How old did you join this church? You're 12 years old. Are you a cell leader?
No, Reverend.
These are the people who don't believe in the things we believe in. That's all. If you believe in it, you do what we do. It's an example. And I can give an example with her because she was a little tiny, tiny girl when she came. She didn't even have Bobby. No Bobby at all. Yeah. 12 years old. Now you are 21. 9 years. Can you believe it? Junior has been around for 2 months. That is your judgment. When God comes, he looks at Junior, he looks at you, and he said, explain. You're smiling? Explain. 8320. Explain. Oh, 9320. Thank you very much. 83 is small. Explain. What would you say, Shorty?
Reverend, nothing.
You can't find anything to say. That, what does it mean? It's like you have been accused of wasting your life on earth. Now God says, defend yourself. You don't have anything to defend yourself. Hey, Shorty, then it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If you can't defend yourself, that is exactly what is going to happen when you stand before God. I tell these people, I tell them, I'm a pastor. Thank you. I'm a pastor already. You are the one who has to do something for your life, for yourself. Not me. In fact, you have to come and beg me. I see, ordinary Guyanese people don't like to beg. Proud. For something that will benefit you. I got to call you. Yeah. Think about it. Isn't it very ironic? That what will bless you and be a benefit to you. I am more concerned about it. Like, it's me the thing is going to do something for. Thomas, true or false? It's the same thing I'm talking to this sweetie. Stand up. It's not the same thing. This guy wants to be a pastor. I have to chase he to be a pastor. You got passage? You don't got passage? You think we go to Ghana flying like that? Like a bird. Clive, something for you, you have to give me the good reason why. Amen. And that's how God is. If God is going to bless you, God has to. Why should he bless you? That's how people move from church to church, deliverance to deliverance, meeting to meeting, oil to oil, because they have missed it and they still want it. You know, this is confusing. 9 years, Abiomi, 9 years in this church. She says she doesn't have anything to say. Let's take a picture together after church. I want to take a picture of you. You're very important. 9 years in the church. All you do is that you come here. Father, thank you for your son. That's what you come to. Oh, most high God. You think it's singing? We can play, we can put a CD in the system and play music. Is the singer we're looking for? We are looking for people. God, it's not even, God wants to use ordinary people. When Jesus wanted to start building his church, it was fishermen, people who didn't have any idea about the Bible, who didn't know how to cast out devils, who didn't know how to preach, who didn't know how to speak in tongues. He just pulled them from the sea. Fishermen is those people he used. He said, follow me, I will turn you into preachers. Once you follow, you must be turned into something. Carla, you understand what I'm saying? You can't follow and not turn into something. It must go inside and it must stay inside. Once you follow, you say, follow me, I will make you into. You can't be sitting around here and not do anything in the church. I mean, it's so interesting that I have to talk about this almost as if I'm fighting with you for something that would just benefit you. It's too fantastic how human beings are. I said, that's too much. God, you ask me. I can just come and preach a nice sermon. Glory be to God. And we'll preach and we'll go. Listen, Nisha, I'm okay. I have a church. I've trained people. I have people. I've trained boys, girls. I'm happy. I'm okay. There are some, if there are too many even in Ghana. I can sit down and wait for them to get ripe. Cry. But it's just something that, you see, when God touches your heart, it's a very complicated issue. I tell you. Because this one is like eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You do nothing, okay, we do nothing too. It's simple. That's how sometimes, Charlene, that's how it works for you sometimes, isn't it? It's like, you know, because it's, so the heart must rather work rather than the must be the heart. That's what you need, more of that. You should pray for more of that. Because all these people, even though we're talking about, I still love them, you know. This little girl, she came, no Bobby, when she came to this church. Tomorrow, if she meets a guy and says you want to marry, it's me she'll come and say, you will bless me with marriage for me. Is it not me she'll come to? Then I'll tell you, you come to this church, what you do in this church, or you come to this church. No, you want me married. Yeah. Even God forbid, if she was to come here with a big belly and then she give birth, you see how they'll come and say, I could offer up me baby. Our cover room is even big upon the roadside. You gotta do something, you gotta decide to do something, Shorty. You gotta decide to do something. Yeah, come on, Shorty. It's long, 9 years. Thomas, when I walk in, you should be holding my shirt. Reverend, Reverend, God bless you, Reverend. That's what you should be doing. I said, bye, galang away. Go, oh, you your problem. Yeah, you should. That's what that sweetheart did. That's why I gave her a book. What's your name again? What's your name again? Kenisha. I'm asking people to stand up. She knew I was going to give a book. I like she bad. Her experience. Yeah. She wants it too. And she got it. When you go to Ghana and you begin to get sense, Then you're going to send me a message. Oh, Reverend, God bless you. Oh, God, Reverend, I don't know what I've done without. I'll delete your number from my phone. Said, Kenisha, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it? That one that thing we want. Sit down. Please stand. My time is up. If I continue, we won't go home today. Durant, are you listening?
Yeah.
Want everybody. You must join me. You must help me. You must help me build this church. Help me. 100. Khadija, you can't come to this church and go and not do anything in the church. It's your company. You have bad company. Yeah. You must join a company that helps the pastor. Don't join people who don't do anything for the pastor. Yeah. Please put yourself in another church. Do you think they will even notice you? Do you think they will even mind you? One of our pastors was in a church. He left the church many years ago and became a pastor in our church. He met the pastor of the church after 4 or 5 years outside in the town. The pastor said, "Hey, I didn't see you last Sunday." Last Sunday. Yeah, Faye. Last Sunday. Last Sunday. The man had left the church years, have become a pastor in another church. And you say, "I didn't see you last Sunday." Look, does he even remember how long the guy has been out of the church? So it's just a privilege. Yeah, a privilege, an honor. Sean, it's an honor to do something for God. Home cell leaders. Home cell leaders. Home cell leaders. Everybody must join. God wants to use ordinary people. My scripture, I gave a scripture I didn't even read. Okay, whilst we are standing, let me read quickly. Amen. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. This is a meeting of big shots. Evander, big shots have met. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They were talking to Peter, James, and John. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel." This is a fisherman on the roadside who nobody respects, you know. Somebody who goes to the wharf. Wharf right there, wharf. Meadowbank. You come, bring a Banga Mary and things for sale. He has come before bishops and popes. And he has the nerve to speak. He said, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole." Then he says, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." He's now accusing them. He's now sorting them out. "You are the ones who rejected this stone." He said, "Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And the Bible says that now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, because these are people who didn't go to Bible seminary, they don't have any degrees, they don't have any PhD, they don't have any doctorate, and they stand among such a you know how is it reminiscence they call it, or reenact in your mind? If Caiaphas and John and Alexander, if they are sitting, they wear their bishopric robes with their hats like that, with their chains and things, and they'll be sitting down, their faces like that. When you come in, you sit down, they look at you, big pompous, religious pomposity. Yeah, that was here alone will intimidate you. And Peter comes and he speaks boldly. The Bible says, they could not understand why they were speaking boldly, because they realized that they were unlearned. They were unskilled. They were not certified. They were people who don't have a degree in what they were doing. And they said they were also ignorant men. Unlearned and ignorant men. Then they marveled. They marveled.
Because they didn't know from all the books of Moses they read that God is an expert in taking people who are unlearned, people who are ignorant. Those are the people God takes. Those are the people God uses to confound the wise, the Bible says. To confound the wise. God wants to make you into a great person. Yeah. Let me say it. Unless you lick bottoms around here, it will take even years. You will not be important in Guyana to anybody. True or false? Oh, please, true or false? You have to wear green shirt all the time. Like how the people wearing some green shirt today? Or you wear yellow? Or you wear red? You have to probably be at Freedom House opening doors for people about 15 years. And then maybe they'll make you into some the minister within a ministry for you to thief something too. Even that people insult you. Kai Chonis will write about you all the time. Freddie Kisun will write about you all the time. The only place where you genuinely shine is in the house of the Lord and for what God will use you into. May the Lord use you. May the Lord use you. Close your eyes with me. You are here this afternoon. You are not saved. Let me do that first. You are not saved. You are not born again. If you die right now, you are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. If you're here like that, lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Please help me. If you're here like that, your right hand up high. Your right hand. God bless you, sir. God bless you. You should make sure you are saved. Don't come to church and go and come and go without having the basic of being saved. Otherwise, you die and go to hell. Pastor, please pray for me. My right hand is up. I want to receive Jesus this afternoon. If you're here like that, your right hand. Lift up your right hand. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. You want to join them? You want to lift up your right hand? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. You lifted up your right hand. I want to ask you to please come. Come, come, sir. My brother, come to me. My friend, come. Clap for them as they come. Come, 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 come. God bless you. Face me. Face me, sir. God bless you. Come. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Wow. You want to join them? Come quickly. We are closing. You want to join them? Come right now. Choose Jesus. Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell. Choose heaven. You want to join them? Come quickly before we close. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes with me, church. I want a gentleman to pray this prayer with me. Pray from the bottom of your heart. Okay, say with me, Heavenly Father. I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come to my heart, O Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe that by this prayer, I am saved. I am born again. I have avoided hell. By all means, I have avoided hell. And my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Collins, please call us on 592-231-0077 or email us at lciguyana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguyana.org. God richly bless you.